around the Friday
is Inside Motorsport.
And good evening once again for another edition of Inside Motorsport this week. Colin Ford with Lion Solo. Peter Norton obviously not here this week. Hopefully some good news for him and his wife Sandy regarding their expected new arrival in the family during the week. So hopefully things have all gone well there. Anyhow, the motorsport this weekend, it's all over the place. Primarily the final round of the 2000 season for the Formula One World Championship. As we know, the Drivers' Championship has been well and truly won by Michael Schumacher. It's down to the wire for the Manufacturers' Championship, though. All required is a fourth place by Ferrari to steal the championship for them. Now, if either of the Ferraris fail to finish or finish lower than fourth, and the two McLarens finish first and second, well, they're still in it with a show. As well, there's, of course, the opportunity for Michael Schumacher, possibly, to give Rubens Barrichello a thank you victory if the situation arises. But however, Rubens Barrichello was down here in Australia last week for the Honda Indy 300 at Surfers Paradise. He apparently has got a head cold. No doubt the usual trick, long distance travel on jets, air conditioning and so on, and he's got to sleep in Malaysia and he's got a head cold. So not the best condition for him, but anyhow, Michael Schumacher, as always, he's on pole. And the following report from Jonathan Ledyard of the BBC laid out the situation.
As if a public reprimand from the FIA president Max Mosley wasn't enough to upset Ron Dennis, his McLaren drivers then found themselves second best to Michael Schumacher for the fourth qualifying session in a row. What's more, Schumacher's ninth pole of the year 2000 was almost half a second quicker than Hakkinen. And until the final moments, Ferrari occupied both front row positions, just like they did last year. In the end, though, Rubens Barrichello, battling Flew as well as McLaren, lost out to both Hakkinen and David Coulthard. He eventually slipped to fourth. Alexander Wurz's Benetton was next best, more than a second slower than Schumacher. Jacques Villeneuve was sixth. But Jenson Button's good run faltered after morning mechanical troubles. He came in 16th, eight places down on his Williams teammate Ralph Schumacher.
Things not going so well there for Jenson Button. I mentioned Jenson Button. Jonathan Ledyard of the BBC was actually able to get hold of Jenson before the event and has a good word to him about how he expects things to go at the Malaysian Grand Prix, and also in relation to his move away from Williams at the end of the season to go and join the resurgent Benetton Williams Racing. And this is what Jenson Button had to say to Jonathan Ledyard.
So you're going to end on a high then, are you? Podium finish, maybe a win.
It looks that way, doesn't it? Reading the newspapers. Well, it would be nice, definitely. I think a podium finish is what I need. Not to be on the podium to overtake Jack. I really want to beat Jack in the championship this year. So that's what I'm going to be aiming for. So it means a third or a fourth, doesn't it?
So why do you want why especially Jack? What's the needle between the two of you, or the joke between the two of you?
No, there isn't. I don't think I should get on with him quite well, and be nice to beat world champion, wouldn't it? It's going to be tough, I think, to finish third or fourth here, but we'll see.
And you say you need to finish on the podium. Is that something just to satisfy yourself, or are you just thinking about other things as well?
No, it's overtake Jack. He's seventh then. I like that.
Have you told him that?
No, no, I will today or tomorrow if I see him at all. But no, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. It's obviously going to be a new experience. But from what I've seen, the circuit looks really good. Really looking forward to it. It's quite a flowing circuit, so it's going to be good for the car, I think.
And what about working with Williams for the last time? For a few years yet? What does that mean? What's that going to be like?
It's going to be a bit sad on Sunday, obviously, after the race. But I think if we have a good result, it'll make it pretty special, I think, my last race with Williams. But even if we don't have a good result, we'll still have a big celebration, because it's been a great year this year for myself and Ralph and for the whole team. So, looking forward to the Christmas party, because we have a big Christmas party at Williams, so it should be good fun.
Looking back, I mean, what have been the highlights of your first year in Formula One?
Every race. The last 16 races. Racing a Formula One car.
Spa?
Yeah, Spa, definitely qualifying. And also Japan. Having good qualifying and actually finishing in the points. Because I've had some good qualifying lately, but I've had accidents in the races or something. So it's good to actually get both, qualifying in the race.
But also, not only qualifying, well, you've actually beaten your teammates. So was that something that you envisaged at the start of the year? Do you think you'd have the beating of him?
No, definitely not. I thought I would be close by the end of the year, or just behind in my first year, but I didn't think I'd out-qualify him.
Because you made almost something of a habit of it, haven't you, really? It's like 6 times, I think, out of 16 races, which is a decent return.
3 in the last 4, I think it is. Mm. But, no, it's good. It is a nice feeling, obviously, when you're in front of your teammate. But then again, he's been in front of me more times than I've been in front of him this year. So, it happens. Sometimes you're quicker, sometimes your teammate's quicker. But hopefully next year, me and Giancarlo can work together and do the same sort of thing as I've done this year with Ralph. Had a good relationship.
Looking ahead to next year, then, I mean, even though we haven't yet finished this one, how easy is it going to be to keep... for Benetton to beat Williams, you think, or stay up there? Just listen to the press conference, all that Hakkinen and Coulthard, Schumacher, all rate that Williams are going to be up there, Ralph Schumacher. No one mentioned Benetton. What do you say to that?
Well, I think it's good for us, because no one expects too much. It's like the same with Williams this year. So, it's going to be difficult, obviously, Renault the first year back properly. But I think it's a pretty good package, and obviously I haven't tested the car yet, so I don't know what it's going to be like, but I think it's going to be okay.
But it's not going to be a disappointment after this year, after the success you've had?
No, I don't think so, because you always know what to expect, and the only person you can really judge yourself on is your teammate anyway, so I don't think it'll be a disappointment.
But overall this year has exceeded all your expectations. You've done far better. I mean, you said already you didn't really expect to beat Ralph Schumacher.
Yeah, definitely in that respect, and being third at Spa as well was a bit shocking. I didn't think I'd be there, and also Suzuka as well, and it's great because I feel so much more, I don't know, together with the car now, and I can really play with it a lot more. Before, if I had a lot of oversteer, I would lift off, but now in qualifying I just keep it fully lit, and it's so much easier now. It's so much more in control. Obviously I can set the car up now to the way I like to drive it, but before, as I went Ralph's direction more than anything. So that's definitely helped. And I feel so much more confident now. So race by race, it just takes me. I just can't wait to get to the next one all the time. More experience.
So how much is that going to help next year? The fact you know where you're going, you know the circuits and so on, you have this confidence, despite the fact it'll be a new team.
Definitely will help. Definitely. And I think working with Giancarlo is going to be good as well. He's very quick. And I can't see why we can't have a good year next year. I think they've put quite a bit of effort into the team for next year. Work more on next year. I'm looking forward to it.
Good enough to challenge Ferrari and McLaren even?
I wouldn't know. I don't know, but I shouldn't think so next year. But I'm sure in the future. It's more of a learning year, I think, again, for the team with the Renault engine. But I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, Jenson Button there talking to Jonathan Legend from the BBC. And of course, the Norwegian Grand Prix is the final round. The grid, full grid positions as they were, Michael Schumacher's on pole in stride, from Mika Häkkinen and David Coulthard, sitting in front of the grid, and the McLaren's and Rubens Barrichello, Chris Ferrari 4th, Alexander Wurz from the Benetton was 5th, Jacques Villeneuve from Canada in the BAR 6th, Eddie Irvine, the Jaguar 7th, probably one of their best showings for the year, Ralph Schumacher 8th, in the first of the Williams BMWs, Yano Trulli in the Jordan Honda, he was 9th, Heinz Harald Frentzen in the second of the Jordan Hondas, he was 10th, Zonta, he was 11th in the BAR. He was actually quickest in this morning's warm-up. Johnny Herbert was 12th in his Jaguar, and his final race for them. 13th, Giancarlo Fisichella for the Benetton. 14th, Pedro De La Rosa in the Arrows. 15th, Joss Verstappen in the Arrows. 16th, Jenson Button in the Williams. 17th, Mika Salo Sauber. 18th, John Lacy Prost. 19th, Nick Heidfeld Prost. 20th, Pedro De La Sauber. 21st, Marc Jean for Minardi. And 22nd, Gaston Mazacane for second of the nose. Now, the Malaysian Grand Prix has just started, and actually started late. They had a problem at the start. Initially, there was some suggestions that Mika Häkkinen had jumped the start, and there was an accident at the back of the field, just on the open start of the race, which did cause problems for De La Rosa in the Arrows, and I believe one of the Saubers as well. Trulli had to come into the pits for a new nose cone for his car. And at the end of what was the third lap, it was David Coulthard who was leading by 1.6 seconds over the pairing of Schumacher and Barrichello. Häkkinen having dropped back down to fourth, obviously may have had some problems there. and things not looking quite interesting at that point again. Now, as we say, it's only just started, and what we'll try and do is keep you posted throughout the show in terms of what is happening with that race up there at Sepang in Malaysia. As I say, could be interesting for Barrichello, could be opportunity, if things work out right there, for Schumacher to give Rubens a thank you win, something that's happened in the past, as we are well aware. The other motorsport taking place this weekend is the San Remo Rally over in Italy. Richard Burns had made his return to rallying for the event, and we now cross to Greg Strange from the BBC for his report on the Rally San Remo as it stood up to close of business yesterday.
Peugeot say they are considering a stage-managed finish to the San Remo Rally, which would give Marcus Gronholm a huge lead in the Drivers' Championship. His teammates Gilles Panizzi and François Delacour are 1 and 2, with Gronholm 4. If he can overtake third place Tommy Mäkinen on the first of today's two final stages, Panizzi and Delacour may be ordered to move over and give Gronholm victory. That would take him to 56 points in the Drivers' Championship, 12 points clear of Richard Burns and 13 points ahead of Colin McRae and Carlos Sainz, with just two rounds of the championship left. Peugeot would still score a maximum 16 points in the Manufacturers' Challenge to take them ahead of Ford. Some would call it cynical, but it would be a devastating tactical move in both championships. First, though, Gronholm has to overtake Mäkinen.
Yeah, once again, things pretty interesting in what is a very interesting tarmac rally again. As it is, Richard Burns, who is one of the leading titans for Subaru, he crashed out, went off towards the end of the 37.74 kilometre Monte Sepu run, and he had the fastest split time on stage, but understeered into a slow corner, hit a rock and a small tree. The impact apparently damaged the engine cooling system, and the engine gradually overheated. They then had no water at the end of the road section. There were fumes in the car at the end. So basically now Burns has to go to the remaining two rallies, Australia and Great Britain, and win, and hope that his main title opponents, which are both Gronholm and similar, have major problems. Carlos Sainz, he's in 11.9 seconds back in 5th position, and Colin McRae, he's driving his pictures and a plate in his face after his crash at the Tour of Corsica 3 weeks ago, apparently still in a bit of pain. He's some ways back. The leading positions at the end of the second day of San Remo Rally, that's not due to recommence probably for another hour Australian time. Gilles Panizzi is leading his Peugeot with François Delacour and team of Peugeot 21.4 seconds behind him. Tommy Mäkinen, actually probably one of his better showings this year. He's in his Mitsubishi in third, 58.5 seconds behind. Marcus Gronholm in the third of the Peugeots, leading point scorer in the championship. He's in his Peugeot 1 minute behind. Then there's Carlos Sainz at 1 minute 12. Colin McRae in 6th at 1 minute 0.41. 7th is Simon Jean-Joseph, driving on the Subarus, 1 minute 55. Then there's Freddie Lloyd in 2nd on Mitsubishi, 2 minutes 23. Fair way back there. Then Peter Solberg in another Subarus, 2 minutes and 33 seconds. Then Sebastian Loeb in one of the privateer Toyota Corolla World Rally cars, 3 minutes and 23 further back. Australia's Michael Guest, he crashed out on day one, came a little bit wide on a corner, coming out of a tunnel, clipped a rock on the outside of the circuit, of the road, happened to catch the steering at a bad angle, broke the steering, and that was all that wrote for him. Also, unfortunately, this rally has also been marred by bad accidents and problems, including the death of a policeman who was involved in spectator control on the first day of the rally, which is something very, very sad to hear, and that there will be some inquiries into what happened there. That's what's happening overseas. We'll try and keep update with what's happening with the Formula 1 as we go along. But things are happening elsewhere around Australia. Nothing much really this weekend here in Australia. We've got a bit of a gap between last weekend with the Honda Indy 300 and our next major event. But next weekend, motor racing comes to Wakefield Park near Queanbeyan, not that far at all from Canberra, where Inside Motorsport is broadcast from. And it is the first round of the summer series rounds of the BOT Gas's Australian Super Touring Championship. And the man who's currently leading that championship is Paul Morris. And we had this opportunity just a little bit earlier this afternoon to talk to Paul and see what he had to say about his potential chances with the championship moves to Wakefield Park, and also a little bit about what's been happening with him recently. Next weekend, the BAC Gases Australian Super Touring Championship moves to Wakefield Park, and the man who'll be looking to try and keep his perfect record intact is Paul Morris. Paul, a new circuit somewhere for the first time. You must be fairly excited about the challenges presented by this new circuit.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It'll level the playing field in a bit, because no one's really been there before, and we have a lot of information to rely on from the years we've been running the BMW, so it's going to be challenging. It's going to be good fun.
Mm. In terms of looking at the Wakefield Park field, have you actually ever been there at all or not?
No, I've never been there at all, and sort of really don't know what to expect until we sort of get there and check it out.
Mm. In terms of your plans for going there, do you have, yourself and the team, have in mind potentially that it might be similar to, say, short course at Iron Park, or use that as your starting point to work from?
Yeah, from what we've spoken to people, and obviously we've had a look at the layout on paper and tried to guesstimate the best we can, but you can do all that all you want, and until you get there and actually cut a few laps, you really can't tell.
Mm. Now, they say the track is fairly tight, and a number of overtaking opportunities are going to be fairly limited, so no doubt pole position is going to be front row position is going to be all important.
Yeah, it always is, and probably a little bit more there. But it's always important, and we'll just have to go there and see what we can do, I suppose.
Mm. Now, at this stage, you're well and truly leading the championship, but you've got people like John Henderson, like, who have been snapping on your heels, and this is probably the first opportunity they'll have to really mount a really hard challenge, too, because of the fact it is a new circuit, and they've had that long break between the last round and this round to get themselves all in order.
Yeah, I think a few of them have been there and they're testing as well, which we really haven't had the opportunity because we've been busy with the V8 supercar as well. So I think it's probably the other team's best chance to get up there and have a win.
Mm. And any changes to the BMW service meeting at all?
No, she's just sort of was prepped, ready to go. It's just been sitting idle, waiting to make a move. So no real changes at all.
Mm. And probably the fact that you know, the summer season, it's going to be some good racing all around.
Yeah, hopefully the weather's a bit warmer and we can get some people out there to enjoy the racing that normally wouldn't come. And I know the people at Goulburn are really excited about the event, so I'm really looking forward to getting down there.
Mm. Yeah, from all reports, like from where we are here in Canberra, the region is actually going to have a fairly good turnout for the race meeting to support Wakefield Park.
Yeah, which is great. I don't know what they normally do in Goulburn for fun, but they'll have something great to do next weekend.
Any thoughts about setting a new speed record down the main street of Goulburn at all?
I don't know about that, mate. I don't think
we'll be
doing that.
Yeah. No, of course, I believe they've got a couple of promotional events on plan to sort of help get the program up and running there at Wakefield Park, so that's another thing you can talk them into.
Yeah, it could be a chance. Could the BMW run down the main drag?
Mm. Now, Paul, last time I saw you, you were at Oran Park, and you were in a pretty dire straits after a very, very hefty crash in the big Tev Racing Commodore. How have you healed up since then?
Physically I'm fine. Just my back's still a little bit numb, and I get a little bit of pain from it every now and again, but when I'm in the race car, it doesn't affect me whatsoever. So the only real main problem is I hadn't been able to do much fitness training for a few months, and I've just started to get back into that now and getting on top of that, and hopefully I'll be in good shape for that.
Mm. Now, last weekend you had a run at the Honda Indy 300. I think it was in the last race you finished third up, or you were in the top 10 there?
Yeah, we didn't run our VT, we just ran our VS there, and whacked the wall second lap on Thursday and missed all the practice that day, and Sunday afternoon, the car was quite good and capitalised on a few other guys' mistakes and finished up in the top 10, so we were pretty happy with that, and it was good fun.
Mm. And now, currently, you're doing some testing with the VT getting ready for Bathurst?
Yeah, we're up at Queensland Raceway on Tuesday, and at the moment I've got Matt Neal out here with me, who's been driving with me at Bathurst in the big Cab races, so we'll get him in the car and get him some miles.
Mm. Now that you'll be showing Matt around some of the sites up there in Queensland on the Gold Coast?
Yeah, he's been asleep for about a day and a half, so I'm just trying to wake him up now, actually, but Yeah, we've had a bit of a look around.
And of course, that's one of the only one interesting parts for you two is getting the big, tall, lanky gentleman there, Matt Neal, in the car as well as yourself.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to be a problem. We've already been out to the workshop and sat in the car and worked on what we have to do. So, as far as seating position goes, it's fine, and just a little bit of adjustment in the position of the steering wheel, which we think we can accomplish quite easy. So, it's not going to be a hindrance at all.
And the thing is too that he has run quite a few laps around Bathurst there in 97 and 98.
Exactly right, and he raced hard in the mission there against the Volvo and virtually nearly won the race, and that's what you need around Bathurst, somebody who can get in the car and knows their way around the track and can race hard all day, and that's why we're going for Matt, because we know we can do the job.
I think, of course, the thing is too, the fact that he, in that race in 98, is up against two of the hard men of motorsport, Rickard Rydell and the wily old man himself, Jim Richards, who I know you've gone head-to-head with many a time, and to come out just behind them by mere fractions of a second over 1,000 kilometres is not bad at all.
Yeah, and, the fierce competition in the British Touring Car Championship, which we all know is pretty hectic, and Matt more than holds his own there as well, so can't wait to get in the car with him. I think it's going to be great.
I think probably if you look at your driver pairing in terms of, say, the independent end of the field there, that's outside the main factory teams, you probably have one of the strongest driver teams between Matt and yourself.
Yeah, we do, and even though we haven't got the experience in the V8 supercars, and you look at my time around the mountain and Matt's and results in the super touring, and we can just get a little bit more speed out of the Commodore, there's no reason why we can't come home with a great finish up there.
So Paul, we look forward to seeing you first of all next weekend at Wakefield Park, and then in a few weeks time up at the mountain.
Alright, it'll be good.
Thank you much, Paul Morris.
See ya.
Yeah, Paul Morris there, as you can hear, things were rather noise in the background. He had a whole crew of people there, and also had Matt Neal there with him, amongst other people, and as you said, they'll be testing next Tuesday at Queensland Raceway, and no doubt possibly Matt will be up at Wakefield Park to observe the Australian BAC Gases, Australian Super Touring Championship. Yeah, I should just pour the dust off your second BMW invites Matt to have a go with it. If I had a bit of interest to the championship, I'm sure I probably wouldn't mind that. In terms of news of things happening around the tracks, one of the interesting things this week is the talk, again, Craig Lowndes, what happens next. The talk being that he may be possibly involved with a satellite team for HRT. Of course, nothing really being firmed up at this stage, and I'd say that'll be one of those things that'll take its time to be fully known over the next few weeks, so it's going to be interesting stuff there. Of course, no doubt as well, for a lot of teams that were at the circus, Honda Indy 300 last weekend with the V8 sport races there, a bit of repair work to be done. The Kmart Wins racing team, they've got two cars requiring repairs. Car 17 for Stephen Johnson, who needs repairs. Stephen Ellery's car requires repairs. Larry Perkins' Bathurst car, it needs repairs. Garth Tander, his car, Bathurst car, needs repairs. Paul Wheel, his AU Falcon, it needs repairs. Brad Jones, his AU Falcon, it needs repairs. I tell you what, there's a few guys who are wishing that they didn't have to race at Honda Indy until after Bathurst. There's a hell of a lot of repair work having to be done on cars, and that's going to make it very interesting there. The other interesting news this week is the fact that the testing that has been done recently by Tiga between the AE Falcons and VT Commodore Aero packages has found that the Ford definitely develops significantly less front downforce than Holden, but develops a lot more rear downforce, actually 50 kilograms more rear downforce than the Commodore. So the idea is it's light on front, heavy at the back, whereas the Commodore is a bit more balanced across the downforce front to rear. So obviously, the Commodore actually currently has 84 kilograms more front downforce. So that's very, very interesting. That's much more engaging than undertrake. So Craig gets to run out of Bathurst, so that's going to make it all good fun and games, as they say. But avenues this week. The fact that one of the people who will be running in the auto pro team, Jeff Braben, well known around the traps, he'll be joining Cameron McConville, and we expect that things will be looking good there for Cameron. Other team driver there, Rod Nash, he'll be teaming up with Paul Dundrell, one of the young up and comers, but it'd be very, very good to see Cameron do well. Yeah, it's been a while since he's had a bit of luck there, and now the game, of course, is that he's looking forward to that event and running with a man who he previously has run with as a against in the Super Touring Championship in terms of Jeff Braben. So it's going to be all fun and games, as they say, for the people running with the races coming up. Now, next weekend, we have the... I got hold of somebody there, and unfortunately, didn't work the way we wanted. We'll see if we can try and get them again. And we're actually just trying to get hold of Mike Porter from the BRC Gas as a Transit Championship. And hopefully we can get hold of Mike in just a second now.
Hello, Mike Porter.
Yeah, Mike, Colin Ford here from Inside Motorsport.
Hello.
Hello, Mike, Colin Ford.
Yeah, mate.
Are you ready to go with now?
I've just got some got five sheets more to go through on the photocopier.
No, I was letting you call back in a few minutes' time.
No, hey, are we talking like 5 seconds?
Okay, 5 seconds. Well, how's it all going up there, Mike? What's the weather like in Queensland?
We're not on air yet, are we?
Oh, yeah, we're on air.
Okay, no problem.
How's the weather up there?
The weather's overcast.
Overcast.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's how they're going to make it a little bit different than what it was. And did you get up a chance to have a look at the 300 last weekend?
Yes, I actually live on the circuit, so...
Oh, did you roll in the middle of things?
I didn't really, yeah, I had no choice in the matter. We had Michael Andretti fly past with flames coming out of the back of his car, so that was all pretty entertaining.
Oh, that's sort of definitely, and it's because it's a real great festival sort of feeling up there for the 300.
It is.
Yeah. Being right on top of the circuit, it always makes it, you get all the noise and everything.
Yes, you certainly do. And you also have your life completely disrupted for about 2 months, but never mind.
Yeah. That's one of those little things that, I suppose, whether a selling point or a bad point for where you live.
It's just something we have to put up with, I guess.
Just put up with it.
Yeah.
But of course, now that you're still going to get a change of climate heading down south for next week, of course, to come down to Wakefield Park and that's one of the BRC Gasser Super Touring Championship.
Yeah, that's basically the start of a whole new era in the championship. As you know, the championship started in 1994 and has been held predominantly in the winter, as have all touring car championships in Australia, and this is the start of our summer season. The first three rounds of the championship were held in winter, two at Oran Park and one at Lakeside. And Wakefield Park, it's the first time we've been there, it's the first time Wakefield Park held a major championship, national championship event. And it's the start of our new summer season, and which there'll be five rounds, all to be televised in a daytime television time slot on Channel 7 on Sunday afternoon. So, basically, before when we ran in winter, we had problems with the television time slot. The Seven Network's heavily committed to AFL and also had the Olympics. So we were on with a late night time slot, but by going to summer, we now have a daytime television time slot, which is much better for sponsors and fans as well.
Because it's better than trying to get it. Remember, it's 11 o'clock at night to sort of either get yourself out of, stay awake, or either get back out of bed or set the video recorder to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's true, but this will be much better now, so that won't be a problem. And in future years, the entire championship will be held in summer, and so we'll have daytime television for every round.
That's going to be a real big improvement for the championship, because I think it probably has suffered in terms of one, the winter weather sometimes making things not particularly pleasant out at some of the circuits, but also up against, as you say, all those football codes that are running at the same time of year.
Well, it's just today, it's not a question of running against the football codes, it's a question that Channel 7 is the telecaster for AFL. Channel 10, for example, they can show the V8s on a Sunday afternoon because they're not committed to any football codes. Channel 9 has rugby league, Channel 7 has AFL, so obviously they're big money earners for both those networks, and if you want to be on at the same time of the year as those sports, well then you have to play second fiddle in terms of television time slots. But by moving to summer, that ceases to be a problem, and as I say, it's much better commercially and also for the fans.
Now, of course, this is the first time that the Supertouring guys have been to Wakefield Park, and probably here the guys have been out and they've been testing not only just in their Super Tours, but in the case of David Auger, he's out playing a future tour in a road car.
Yeah, actually Tony Newman was the first one to go down there. He went down there I think the last week of September, and he did a couple of days. Very good. We had both Wynn and Prime from Canberra went down there, and plus the Canberra Times and the Goulburn Post, so fantastic media support. Tony tested for a couple of days, and then in the past week, yeah, we had David Auger. Just wanted to get a feel for the track with his, he drove a road car and did a few laps in a future tourer. And the following day, last Tuesday, Paul Liebeder was there with his Hyundai Elantra. And also Jamie Miller's tested there as well on the Toyota Camry. So there's been four drivers out on the circuit. All of them have, well, in the case of Paul Liebeder, Paul had raced there before in an HQ Holden. And he said the track is, the way they've revised it, they've widened it, improved the pit lane facilities. And he said there's a lot more passing opportunities, and also it's, they've changed a couple of corners, which has sort of made the circuit a fair bit quicker.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting to see Jamie Miller back, because I know last time I talked to him was just after the previous round at Arran Park, where we had that accident where the camera got hit in the rear and had folded the rear wheel and suspension up under it, and he was a bit about funding to be able to get out again and show what he could really do in that camera.
Yeah, that's, no, Jamie will be back for sure. He, you know, I guess he's found some additional sponsorship funding, which is great news, and he'll be running at Wakefield Park. It's pretty, you know, he would be expected to finish in the top 10 for sure. We've also, we've got a new, or a competitor from Canberra, Matthew Fox, is going to be driving one of Malcolm Ray's Toyota Carinas. He's going to be making his championship debut at Wakefield Park. He's had done quite a lot of racing there as well in HQs and various other smaller categories. So that'll add something to the championship, and there's an extra car out there. At this stage, it looks like we're going to have 18 to 19 super touring cars and 9 or 10 future tourers. So for the main feature races is 28 laps, of which there'll be two, talking around about 27, 28 cars, which would be probably our biggest grid in a couple of years.
That's actually things picking up quite well, and it's good to see the fact that, I suppose, again, it's one of those factors that people have now got, I suppose, money is becoming a bit more available after the Olympics and everything else. People are looking for sponsorship, and it's opened things up a bit, and it's good to see the guys out there with the cars on the circuit.
Well, that's true, and, you know, there's some really interesting things happening too in the championship. I mean, you've got David Auger, who's third in the Independence Cup. He's locked in. Paul Morris has obviously been running away with the championship. He's unbeaten, but at the moment he's got 110 points. But you've got Alan Gurr on 60, David Auger on 58, and John Henderson on 52, all locked in a very close battle for second position. And all those guys are also gunning to be the first man to knock off Paul Morris. And John Henderson, who's finished second in five of the seven races so far this year, whilst he's not second in the championship, he's probably consistently been Paul's closest rival, and he's really pushed the BMW at quite a few of the tracks, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. Paul Morris is actually not arriving at the circuit until Friday night. He's going to miss Friday practice because of business commitments. He's going to be a little bit behind the eight ball, so this could be John Henderson's opportunity, if not Alan Gurr's.
Mm, that's right. We were talking with Paul a bit earlier on. He's actually testing up in Queensland Raceway with Matt Neal, the leading independent from the British team. He's over here testing on the Tuesday. So that's obviously a bit of a problem when you've got limited times to test for him for Bathurst coming up later in the year, but also with his two sets of commitments, obviously make it very difficult to be in two places at once.
That's true, yeah. I mean, he's taking on a very big program, probably the biggest program of anybody in Australia this year. And, you know, something like, well, there's eight rounds of the Super Touring Championship and 15 or 16 V8 races, so that's like 23 weeks of racing. So basically you spread that out over, 12 months, it's sort of once every 2 weeks. And they've had a couple of accidents with their V8 car, so at Oran Park and whatever, so... when you've got to do a major rebuild like that, it really does slow you up.
Mm. Well, I think it's actually probably going to be a very, very top-line meeting there. Actually, when the local television here in Canberra, there's started promoting the event quite heavily on the local Prime network, which is the Seven network, giving coverage about the fact that the race is on and how much it's costing. So it looks like they're putting a really good package together for families and get families and people along there, children under 16 free, a funfair for children, all that type of stuff, and a really good support program in terms of the various categories we're supporting. So I'd say in terms of bringing Super Touring to sort of regional New South Wales away from Sydney for the first time, this is a meeting I think probably people support it should bode well for the future.
Yeah, well, New South Wales has traditionally been the headquarters of Super Touring. We've always had good crowd support at Oran Park and also at Amaroo over the years and Eastern Creek, and a large majority of our competitors are based in New South Wales. And sure, I mean, I think the message we're getting from Goulburn is that they're just delighted that they've got a national championship event of any sport there. In this case, it's motor racing. And I think that the local residents are starting to realise that Wakefield Park can be a real asset to the local community in terms of attracting high-profile sporting events, and also which tips dollars into the town, because all the teams, that when they go there, they stay at hotels and eat in restaurants and hire cars and all those sorts of things. So the local media and also Goulburn Tourism have been right behind it, and they've been very supportive, and also the Canberra media have been extremely supportive. So it's really shaping together as quite a positive situation, and we think that it's going to be a big success, and it's just the perfect way to kick off our new summer series. And I'm sure that we're going to be back there in following years.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mark, we'll be up there next weekend, definitely covering the race in that Wakefield Park, and including reports for our program, user program on the Sunday.
Yep.
So we look forward to seeing you up there and catching up with all the drivers next weekend at Wakefield Park.
No problem. There's a full, I think there's 12, 13 races on Sunday. Lots of support events. There's the Mirages, there's the Daewoo One Make Series, there's Commodore Cup, production sports cars, street sedans. So and the future tour is in with the super tours. So I think it's a pretty varied and an interesting program. And for those who are really interested or really keen, Friday practice starts at midday, and there'll be qualifying on Saturday. That starts first qualifying session for the super tours and future tours starts just after 11 o'clock. So and qualifying quite an interesting spectacle, because the guys are actually right on the limit for those all-important grid positions, because, if you want to beat Paul Morris, the best way to do it is to qualify on the front row. And whilst Paul's been qualifying on the front row, there's been certainly a lot of competition to try and get that other front row position to start alongside him.
Mm. And that's the opportunity too, I suppose, is that if there are a couple other guys who can maybe take advantage of Paul not practicing on the Friday, and not qualifying so well, but actually locking out for the first time from the front row means that you could actually get a couple of people in front of Paul for a change.
Well, I mean, that's for sure, and that's, it's going to be really interesting, I think, the first qualifying session. There is a practice session before the first qualifying session, but having said that, Paul's certainly going to be short of track time, so they're going to have to sort of be just... I wouldn't be at all surprised if we don't see the BMW... at full sort of speed until perhaps halfway through the second qualifying session.
Well, thanks for joining us today, Mark Porter.
Not a problem. Look forward to seeing you next weekend.
We'll catch you around.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, Mike Porter there
from the BOC Gases Australian Super Touring Championship. Yeah, let's look a little bit further afield in terms of things that are going on in other parts of Australia. And we now go to join our man in South Australia. And things are starting to happen down south in Adelaide, and joining us once again is our Adelaide correspondent, Dave Langfield. Dave, things are really starting to hot up down there in South Australia, particularly starting next weekend.
Yeah, that's right, Colin. This next weekend sees the fourth running of the popular Classic Adelaide Rally, which gets underway this Thursday, the 26th of October. The events run over 4 days and takes in areas of the Mount Lofty Ranges and the beautiful Fleurieu Peninsula. Starting and finishing each day at the luxurious Hilton Hotel in the city, competitors will cover approximately 1,000 kilometres, and that contains 33 special stages totalling 233 competitive kilometres. Eligible cars are built before 1970, and the event is run wholly on the tarmac roads. Last year there were a record 137 entrants, and that figure has been surpassed with 151 for the 2000 Classic, and that represents a 10% increase in the field, so this event certainly growing in popularity each year. The competitors split into three categories, and that's the competition rally, which the vehicles contain full safety gear, and it's on to the second over the 33 special stages. These sort of cars are Ford Escorts, Capris, GT1000s, Porsche 911s and Mark II Jaguars, just to name a few. Then we come to the touring category, which is mainly restored thoroughbred and classic cars, and they're not actually competing for outright honours. And they're led by this year by touring car legend Norm Beachy in a 1967 Camaro. And that's got double the entries this year. It's 40 cars, we had 20 last year, so that's showing an immense increase in popularity. And the first, probably my favourite, the parade cars, is the exotic sports and classic cars, mainly from overseas, and including vehicles like a Ferrari California Spider, and that's valued at approximately $3 million. And it's weird that we've got approximately like $30 million worth of cars going to be sitting in the Hilton garage at any one time. And that will be led, the parade will be led by Sir Jack Brabham, and also will feature Triple British Touring Car Champion and Bathurst winner Wyn Percy in a red Mark II Jaguar. We don't have the final entry list as yet. I was trying to get that hold of that Friday night, but ran out of time. But we do know that Classic Adelaide regular Andrew Medici, and obviously the touring car star of the past, has been replaced by Peter Gazzard in car number 4 of Southland GT. Normally Andrew punts that round quite nicely. Unfortunately, we also won't be seeing the promised 1952 Mercedes 300 SL Goldwing, a beautiful vehicle which is to be driven by the Daimler-Benz public affairs manager, Dieter Ritter, and he's been out here a couple of times in the past. And brought some beautiful cars from the from Mercedes Museum. The vehicle was actually damaged recently while being driven by the great John Surtees, former Formula One and motorcycle champion. Apparently it wasn't John's fault. Apparently one of the Goldwing doors was open and a gust of wind caught it and damaged the panel, so Mercedes factory said, or the museum said, no, we're not sending that one. So the local Mercedes dealer BEA Motors actually sourced a 190 SL for Ritter to come out and drive, but he's decided not to come this time. Last year we saw a titanic battle between the 1998 winner Andrew Cavalli in his Ford Escort and Rick Bates in a Porsche 911, with Bates taking control after the Cavalli crashed heavily on day 3, and Bates going on to win the rally. This year promises to be even better, with bigger entries and a number of new special stages, and we're looking at one that we're obviously not allowed to call it to climb to the Eagle, but that's a reenactment of the Eagle on the Hill climb, which was always done on the Friday of the Grand Prix here in Adelaide, while we had it for 11 years, up the old Mount Barker area, which now has been, due to major works on that road, has made it a lot safer, and Devil's Elbow has sort of seen of many a truck rollover, so the government's done a lot of work there to get that road safe, but they've actually got the old section, which is a really good windy, twisty road. And they're going to run a rally stage on it, so that promises to be great. I'll be following the event from Friday onwards, and we'll bring you the results next Sunday afternoon from the finish.
Right, and of course, as always, that event has produced some interesting driver, navigator, and vehicle pairings, but also some interesting stories in terms of, you know, cars that have come the longest distance, cars that have got particular histories attached to them. That's always something to look forward to.
Yeah, a lot of big names, as opposed to Jack Brabham, obviously needs no introduction. Wyn Percy last year, I think, was in a Cobra replica, and he was having an absolute ball until, I think, something in the radiator split or something like that on, I think, day 2, but he was dead keen to come back again. Guys like Solar Century's Glenn Ridge, I think he drove for 2 of the days last year. I think somebody substituted him for the first 2, and he picked up from day 3 onwards, and I know he's done previous events, and he just loves it.
Mm. It's one of those sort of events that does have that mix of the classic old-style race. Similar in some aspects to like Targa Tasmania, not as intensive, but again, taking that beautiful countryside that surrounds Adelaide, and which is well known to people from the past in the Formula One Grand Prix, and also more recently the Eclipse 500.
Well, that's right, and of course, onwards from that is the Le Mans, American Le Mans Series race we're looking at for the New Year's Eve party here in Adelaide.
Yeah, because that's going to be one of the really big things coming up at the end of the year is the race of 1,000 years, the American Le Mans Series race. And no doubt Adelaide is sort of starting to feel a little bit of a bug for that as well.
Oh, definitely. We've had a number of unveilings and stuff. Local brewer Coopers, they've got behind the event and they've sponsored and they've released a commemorative can for the draft, with Coopers draft, with panels actually printed on the can. Coopers are famous for doing that sort of thing. They've had a number of events they've supported in the past and they've done a commemorative beer can to commemorate it. And you know, they've done that again with us, so they got behind the event. We've had numerous displays in Rundle Mall, which is our famous shopping area there in the heart of the city. I think they've actually even gone as far as I'm hearing talk of Le Mans shop, which seems to be in the same vein as the old Grand Prix shop that used to be down the east end of town, so you get your tickets and memorabilia and stuff from there. So they've
down the side corner sort of end of town.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's from memory that's where it was last time. That obviously closed up in 95, but they're looking at doing the same thing again. I believe they've established that.
Yes, I actually remember that shop. It was sort of like from where I used to hang out, across the road, two doors down, yeah. But we were closer to the Stag.
That's right. Exactly.
And what the Stag provided.
Well, that's it. Well, the good thing is the Stag, very famous part of the course. This year, obviously, we're running for the Le Mans race. We're actually running the full Grand Prix circuit as opposed to the Clipsal, where they run the shortened one, which goes up, I think, Barthills Road. This time it's going all the way down to Rundle Road and taking that famous brewery bend, which sweeps onto the old Bradman Strait with the sports prototypes. You're looking at sort of speeds in excess of 300 kilometres per hour. And that going through the night should be quite interesting, spectacular sight to behold.
Actually, I think it'll be interesting to compare whenever the times are put in terms of the lap times. The lap times and also the terminal velocity down that Bradman Strait of the sports prototypes versus the Formula One cars as they were when the Grand Prix was last held at Adelaide. I think it's going to be very interesting to see just how fast these sports prototypes will be.
Well, obviously there's sort of 5 or 6 years technology on from there, but certainly your comparison there, as you say, would be quite interesting. I'll certainly be one of these fat thugs that gets his old Grand Prix annual out and has a look at what the fastest safe and what the speed down there were, and I'm sure there'll be sorts of comparisons made in the media.
Now, one of the support events they've announced, which actually you sent me the brochure and you've given me the bug. It's a bug. It's the Le Mans bug, and it's a VW Pro-Am race, and for $41,150, including GST, you get a brand new VW Beetle, including on-road costs and a host of other extras that makes it possible for you to drive the new car in a Pro-Am race in partnership with a professional racing driver. I reckon, includes racing helmets,
yep,
a new race suit, roll cage, safety harness, fire extinguisher, etc. Your pre-race, your race entry fees, insurance, whole nine. I tell you what, if somebody wants to promote their business, because you also get to stick all your sponsorship over the bonnet and the front guard of the car and so on.
That's the main advantage, as you say, with the sponsorship. You have the right to sell off sponsorship areas on the vehicle. I mean, you pull in anyone if you like, but obviously businesses in Adelaide, which hopefully will be taking advantage of it, and even interstate, just to get their name on a vehicle. As you see, the point in the brochure has got the 53, the famous Herbie Goes to Monte Carlo number. They've had that car in Rundlemall. I've sat in one of them. It's quite a confusing little thing to have. I don't know whether the thing comes complete with the flower vase for the dashboard. I'm not sure if that's a racing accessory or an acceptable cans approved accessory, but I'm sure it'll be quite an interesting event, that one.
Does that not be suitable if it contained Gladiola? Because I remember one of the celebrity races they ran once upon a time had Dame Edna Erich.
That's
correct. That would work for her, but I don't think it'd be accepted for anybody else.
No, I don't think so.
But actually, I reckon that'll be a great race, because you've got the professionals and the amateurs, three races, and a great thing. Now, of course, they've also announced the post-race conference, post-race concerts, and who are going to be the big events showcase there?
Well, we've got 10 p.m. on the Sunday night, which is New Year's Eve, 31st. After the big race finishes, the Checkered Flag falls, there'll actually be two separate concerts to cater for different musical tastes. Pitside Party will be held behind the main grandstand, and will feature the big acts In Excess, featuring John Stevens, and also Taxi Ride. And it's going to be probably a huge concert there, which I think it's in, if you go, anyone who's familiar with going to the Clipsal 500, I think it's the Clipsal Gold Club or something that sits behind the main grandstand. And there'll also be another one over in CBC Oval, which is the opposite side of the circuit, probably just sits inside the Bradman Strait area. And there'll be a different style of entertainment there, which will be Living End, UMI and Spiderbait. So definitely something for all tastes there.
And of course, the beauty of it is the time of year when the event is on is probably it's damn hot down there in Adelaide for sure. But it's as you say, it's sort of a lead up to New Year, so you've got between Christmas and New Year. Perfect time for someone to go down and actually take a longer break. I know I am, because I'm going down to cover the event along with
looking forward to seeing it.
Yes, with the good wife Carol and probably some others and members of the crew.
Junior,
yes, and we'll be along sitting in the back seat. But it's the thing, but after having gone to the race and a great place for a race it is, do you think of the option like we're going to be doing, wandering around the Barossa Valley and the surrounding region to have a look at what else is available there in South Australia? So it's great timing really for what they've got on.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of businesses we have a lot of people in sort of perhaps the manufacturing area as well that they close down over Christmas, so if your people are enforced, like an enforced 2-week leave they have, what better way to spend your leave than come down to Adelaide to see the race and then go have a look around the Barossa and perhaps Clare Valley, McLaren Vale, our famous wine districts. It's just, you know, a great place to come and have your summer holiday.
Mm. Now, of course, things don't finish there. You've got that at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Classic Adelaide Rally next weekend. Then I think we've got Wakefield Park is next weekend. Mm-hmm. Then 2 weekends after that, the BOC Gas Super Tours, they make their way to Mallee for their annual visit there.
That's right. We were sort of a bit unsure as to whether we were getting them. It was penciled in the date very early in the year as because of the Olympic Games shuffling everybody's calendars around. We weren't quite sure whether it was ever going to go ahead. Unfortunately, it has, I'm happy to say. And November the 12th, or 11th and 12th, we've got the BOC Gases featuring the future tourers as well. We've got a round of the ROH Wheels Commodore Cup, Mitsubishi Mirage Series, HQ Holdens, and the new saloon class, which made its debut at the Adelaide 500 or Crystal 500 this year, which is the old EA EV Falcons and VN VP Commodores. So that's a growing class here, and we've got quite a bit of support for that. Formula V's, so it's sort of every budget sort of thing there that you can cater for. We've got a lot of club type stuff and club cars apparently on the program as well, according to my flyer poster I've got here. So yeah, that's going to be a fairly packed event. Obviously, numbers of Super Tourers sadly a little bit down, but certainly plenty to keep people entertained that weekend. And I know last year, although we haven't got Jim Richards this year, last year, although he bucketed down with rain here, we've got a different time of the year because it was run in August last year, and I think the last 2 or 3 years we've had rain. Get it in November, hopefully should be some much better weather. Richards and Morris put on a fantastic battle last year, which was just cut and thrust, but obviously fair. And there's just the quality of the racing, even though there's a smaller field, is just fantastic.
I think too, Wakefield Park next week will probably be a good indicator for us because we've got Paul Morris, but we've got people like John Henderson who's taken the time to do some work on his car.
Mm-hmm.
We've now got Dwayne Bewley, who will be sitting in the second of the Peugeot 406 because he should be in good shape.
Yes.
Tony Newman's been testing his other 406 fairly heavily. And you can never discount somebody like Peter Hills and young Alan Gurr, and they've all had that break since the last round and then this next round at Wakefield Park to get themselves into shape.
We'll look at the battle that Peter Hills and John Henderson gave Paul Morris back, I think it was the early round in Oran Park.
Mm.
Yeah, both those guys actually, I think, leading the races at certain points during the day.
Yeah.
They're very competitive, and it'd be nice to see a manufacturer, actually, I won't mention names, get behind some of those things, but we know which ones they are.
Yeah, they should look a little bit further than what they are. So, Dave, thanks for joining us this evening on Inside Motorsport. We'll probably chat to you next weekend to see the results of the Classic Adelaide Rally.
Live from the rally,
and we'll probably talk to you again fortnight after that for the BRC Gossip.
Yep, it's going to be a busy time.
No worries.
Good
Dave,
on you.
Dave Lanfield, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, our man from South Australia, David Lanfield, and of course, David will be covering the Classic Adelaide Rally for us next weekend as well. We'll be coming from Wakefield Park for the latest round of the BSC Gases Australian Super Touring Championship. That's next weekend, the 28th and 29th of October. Super Touring Future Tours Commodore Cup, Mirages, the Daewoo Kumo Challenge, Production Sports Cars, Street Standard Invited GTP. They have a $30 family ticket for 2 adults and 2 children under 16, $22 ticket for adults, $15 students and concession, children under 16 free, and free pit lane entry, and they're going to have children's rides, etc. If you want more information about the ticketing, etc., for Wakefield Park, their number is 02-4822-2811, and they're on Braidwood Road, Goulburn. It should be a good weekend's racing there this weekend. Just in some other news, the news this week just announced recently that Cristiano DeMatta will be becoming one of the drivers of the Newman Haas FedEx Car Championship racing team, replacing Michael Andretti. And the World Sprint Car Series have announced that they are cancelling all their West Australian rounds. The fact that the new Cronulla Motorplex, which is currently construction as a replacement for Perth's famous Claremont Speedway, will not be completed in time for traditional series swing in the West. Construction delays, together with concerns by some teams over the high cost of travel, of course, the series organised to spend all rounds in Western Australia this summer, including the planned two-night Bunbury show and the NASR-promoted round at Kalgoorlie. All other rounds will run on the scheduled dates as planned, with the first two rounds at Newcastle on November 11th and Parramatta November 18th being featured in the live telecast on the C7 cable network carried by both Optus and Austar. So we've got a new calendar for the World Series Sprint Cars, as I say, starting on Saturday November 11th at Newcastle Speedway, then Saturday the 16th of November at Parramatta City Speedway, Saturday December 2nd Review Speedway at Murray Bridge down in South Australia, Friday the 5th and Saturday the 6th at Avalon Raceway, Geelong, and December 27th of December, Wednesday, Speedway City in Adelaide, Friday the 29th, Blue Ribbon Speedway, Horsham in Victoria in December, and Saturday the 30th, Myara Raceway in Myara in Victoria. Then in January, the 1st at Warrnambool, the 2nd Mount Gambier, the 5th and 6th at Parramatta, the 10th at Archfield up in Brisbane, the 12th and 13th back to Archfield in Brisbane, 17th of January, Newcastle Speedway, and then finishing up on the 20th of January at Parramatta once again in Sydney. That's all for this week on Inside Motorsport. We'll be back again next week. Craig Revell should be back from overseas, and we'll probably know where Peter Norton's at with things. And that's all for me, Colin, for this week. We'll catch you all again next week.
Inside Motorsport is produced by Thunder Media in the studios of Triple SFM Canberra via Comrade Sass, with the support of the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia.